Welcome now to hour number two of this weekend's two-hour installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. Michael Harrison here in the anchor chair. It's an ensemble show, and of course it is hosted by Carol Marks, one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism. During this hour, we'll also be joined, in addition to Carol, of course, by our senior correspondent, Richard Neer, talking about a variety of topics. As a matter of fact, sports fans out there, Richard Neer will be talking with Tony the Goose Siragusa. He's a former NFL football star who won the Super Bowl in 2001 as a member of the Baltimore Ravens. I don't know if he won it, but he was certainly on the winning team. And he's going to talk about his partnership with Depend and his game plan to help men stay active with prostate cancer and bladder leakage. It's coming up on this hour. Tony the Goose Siragusa with our very own Richard Neer. Okay, let's jump into the show. Carol Marks, front and center with Dr. Eric Finzi. He's a dermatologic surgeon, and he's an artist working in the D.C. area and a former dermatology faculty member at Johns Hopkins Medical Center. He has written a new book. It's titled The Face of Emotion, How Botox Affects Our Mood and Relationships, published by Palgrave Macmillan.
And people that don't know, doctor, you know exactly what is Botox. It's a chemical. I know that much. Where do you inject it? And what about people's worry that it's a poison?
Well, the way I would look at that is that every drug in the wrong dose is a poison. And Botox is actually safer than most drugs because the difference between the safe dose and the bad dose is much greater for Botox. So, for instance, if you took 20 times as many Tylenol as you're supposed to take, that's a poison. It'll kill you. So if you took 20 times as much Botox, it won't kill you. So it's actually safer than most drugs because it is so specific. And it comes from a bacteria the same way penicillin, you know, was made by a fungus to kill off bacteria. So, and penicillin is a poison for bacteria, but it's used by the fungus to kill that. And, of course, we know that the history of what happened there with antibiotics. So, and Botox is used right between the eyebrows in order to inhibit frowning. So we don't do anything with the smile. We want people to smile as much as possible because I'm firmly convinced that the more you smile and laugh, the better your mood will become. And that it's sort of like a yin-yang. You know, you've got frowning on one side, and you have smiling and laughter on the other side. And the more you do of the positive and the less you do of the negative, the less stress your whole system will feel. So I began research on this about 10 years ago, and we published our first article in 2006 showing in a small number of patients we were able to really help chronic serious depression in a large proportion of them. And subsequently, a team of researchers from Germany and Switzerland have replicated our results in a randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled trial of Botox for depression. And I presented in December work that I performed in conjunction with Norman Rosenthal showing that in a larger study that was randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled, that we had great results in terms of helping many chronically depressed patients with their mood, and quite a few of them went into remission from a single Botox treatment.
And was the amount of Botox you used the same that you would use, you know, to help somebody with their frown lines?
Absolutely. Very similar. Yes. So it's more a question of just treating the muscles of negative emotions. It turns out that those muscles between your eyebrows, they're very important in conveying all the negative emotions. So if you're angry with someone or you're afraid or you're sad, it turns out that you will activate those muscles and unbeknownst to you. So it's not like you sit there and say, oh, I'm angry, oh, I should go frown. That's not how it works. You frown first and or simultaneously with feeling sad or angry, And most of the time, you're not actually aware of what you're doing. So your unconscious brain is doing this, and it contributes to your overall mood and emotions. And there, as I said, there's a large body of research to show that our emotions are in what I call embodied. So it's hard to have an emotion if you're sitting there and perfectly calm and doing nothing and not moving your face. And if you want to show the emotion of joy, you really, if you want to feel the emotion, you have to sort of do the emotion to some extent with your face, your body, your voice, everything. So it's not like we just have this thought, oh, I'm extraordinarily happy, but I'm going to look so neutral that no one would know that. That's a difficult thing, and it's hard to sustain an emotion unless you actually sort of feel it with your body and your face. And
absolutely.
So that's an important concept, that it's not, emotions aren't just sort of wandering out there in the ether in the brain.
Talking about Botox, because I read some other articles about it, and that it may become a miracle drug because it also can help alleviate migraines, excessive sweating, and some of the symptoms people have with cerebral palsy and MS.
Absolutely. Yeah, and here's the way to look at Botox. What's different about Botox is that it's a drug that can treat muscles. So if you have a disease that in any way, shape, or form involves muscles, in contributing to the disease, even if muscles aren't the prime factor, if they're sort of part of what I call the neuronal circuit. So in cerebral palsy, it's clear that the muscle is an intrinsic part of the disease. The muscle cramps up, and if you treat one set of muscles on the leg, there have been people who have been wheelchair-bound in cerebral palsy who, after Botox treatments, were able to walk. So for them, it's a miracle. For some migraine sufferers, it's a fantastic drug. It can really, really shut them down, and it helps with the sensory nerve endings there in the muscles, so they don't get the pain, and the migraines don't really start because they've had it. And it's also used in Parkinson's disease. It's been recently FDA approved for treatment of bladder problems. And what does a bladder have to do with a frown? Well, it's the bladder. There's a muscle there. So the way to look at Botox is, it's if the muscle is playing the role, then that's an avenue that you can potentially treat. Now, we don't have an easy way of getting into the brain other than by taking certain medications, right? So with Botox, the issue is that we can just treat the muscle, but because everything feeds back to the brain, your brain is aware of everything you do. If your brain senses that over the last 3 weeks you haven't frowned once, it thinks, well, life must be a lot better. I guess you must be feeling better, so I'll make you feel better. So it's sort of a cyclical thing where the chicken and the egg, they sort of co-evolve together in terms of your feelings and your moods, and your brain is constantly monitoring what you're doing with your body and with your facial expressions. And if you don't make those negative expressions, then you do feel better. I mean, people who do yoga know about this very well, because they focus many times on just relaxing all the stress out of the muscles and the negative facial expressions. It's also part of yoga.
Good. And what kind of a doctor would you go to evaluate, say you had cerebral palsy or you were having migraines, that he could tell you whether you might be helped with Botox? What kind of a doctor would administer the injection?
Well, neurologists are specialists in movement disorders.
Okay.
And cerebral palsy is one of them, movement disorders. So they treat Parkinson's and cerebral palsy and spasms of the neck, cervical dystonia. Neurologists are well-trained in how to do this, and they treat migraine, headaches. So And, you know, there's some fantastic experts out there who can assess the ability of this drug to see if it can be helpful for that individual.
That's Dr. Eric Finzi. In conversation with Carol Marks, his book is titled The Face of Emotion, How Botox Affects Our Mood and Relationships. It's published by Palgrave Macmillan. Coming up next, Richard Neer joins us. He's going to be talking with former NFL football star Tony the Goose Siragusa, who's going to be talking a bit about prostate cancer and bladder leakage. And Richard will be with us for the rest of the hour. We've got some interesting stuff coming up. He's going to be talking to Dr. James Rafel, a professor of clinical medicine at the College of Physicians and Surgeons at Columbia University, about atrial fibrillation. Those who have that in their life know it's called AFib. And strokes. May is National Stroke Awareness Month, and Richard's going to have some very important information for us about that. So all that and more coming your way right here. Keep in mind we have a website, atouchofgray.com. Gray is spelled with an E. Lots of good stuff there, lots of archives, lots of interviews, lots of information. And A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues right here on the radio version of it. In just a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on matchingdonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. Matchingdonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to matchingdonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's matchingdonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps, so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. For the rest of the way, we're going to be joined by our senior correspondent, Richard Neer, who, for just the rest of the show, you're going to see the diversity of this man's interests and knowledge. He's going to be talking about sports. He's going to be talking about prostate cancer. He's going to be talking about stroke, and we're going to be talking a bit about the passing of rock and roll legend Ray Manzarek, the keyboardist for The Doors. Richard has done Major League Radio over decades in the sports arena, in the music arena, in the health arena, in the upper demo arena, as evidenced by this show, and in the general talk arena. So he is quite a Renaissance man. And one of the things that Richard Neer does is host a program on a website called Pod Jockey, which is a boutique for outstanding podcasts. It's called Richard Neer's Novelist Cafe, and he speaks to novelists about their lives and their books, and it's fabulous. Check it out at podjockey.com, podjockey.com, and then press the button for Richard Neer's Novelist Cafe. Okay, let's jump right into this. Richard Neer, in conversation with Tony the Goose Siragusa, former NFL football star, was part of the Super Bowl Ravens in 2001, Baltimore Ravens, and now he is working with Depend, and his game plan is to help men stay active with prostate cancer and bladder leakage. And here now is Richard Neer with Tony the Goose Siragusa.
How'd you get involved with this? Did it strike someone close to you or people that you know?
Well, it's pretty funny, Rich, that you asked me that. You know, Depend came to me, and they pitched me on a campaign that they're doing, Guard Your Manhood. And, you know, I told them that, you know, I do have some family members who have had prostate cancer and also some friends, and I wanted to know more about it. And they said, well, you know, light bladder leakage, it goes side by side with prostate cancer. And we've came out with a product that wasn't out there. All there was were feminine products. Now there's man products with guards and shields. And, you know, we want to go and get it out there. We need a guy who's going to go and not be embarrassed to talk about it. And you know, I'm the kind of guy who just hits things head on and, you know, okay, listen, this is going to help people. Let's get it out there. And, you know, it's not an easy subject for guys to talk about. So I think if guys, a guy like me can go out and tell people about where they can get information, like on guardyourmanhood.com, or do a commercial and show guys that they have their own space and, you know, under the sink where, you know, there's a manly product out there that can help them, I'm all in. And, you know, I'm all about helping people, and I like Depend. They also gave a $50,000 donation to the V Foundation for cancer research and prostate cancer. So, you know, they were doing all the right things. It's all about, you know, a guy still being a guy. Just because you have light bladder leakage doesn't mean, you know, that you can't go and do the same things you've done before and bring an awareness to that. And, you know, I was happy to go and do the commercial and be their spokesperson for this product.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you're aware about Angelina Jolie and her revelation a couple of days ago. And it's important, I think, for celebrities like yourself and like her to come forward with these things, because the average person is just embarrassed. You know, we don't want to talk about this. And if you talk about it, it makes it easier for everybody else.
Yeah, I think people don't realize. I think if you don't have any problem with your prostate and you know, you think like, oh, nobody has the same problem that I have. That's not true at all. You know, you'd be surprised once you know, have that light bladder leakage problem and you go out there and there's a huge sector and a huge amount of people out there that have that same problem, but there's nowhere to go and channel everybody to go and get information and solve the problem. But now there is. And, you know, there's so much information on the website, guardyourmanhood.com, about, you know, how to use the product, you know, what can you do, how does it work, you know. So I think having outlets like that and bringing attention to them is just going to help people out there.
And Tony, as the population ages, prostate cancer is becoming more and more prevalent. They say 1 in 6 men will get it. Eventually, my dad passed of it a couple of years ago. Eventually, if you get old enough, you're probably going to develop a problem.
Yeah, you know what, Rich? It's not just for the older men either. You know, learning and doing my research and understanding, you know, the category that they're going after and the demographics that this product is going after. You know, a lot of young people are getting prostate cancer. You know, the best thing you could do is, you know, talk to your doctor, you know, preventative measures of getting checked, go and get your doctor's, prescription and go get your self checked out as best you can. But if it does happen, just to let everybody know and that there is a solution out there, and I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah, no doubt. How did you get involved with the V Foundation? My wife actually has V license plates in North Carolina for the Valvano situation. How did you get involved with that?
Well, you know, Depend went and they looked around and they wanted to go and find a foundation and a charity that, you know, that they can go and contribute to bring more awareness to and research and try to, you know, alleviate the problem and do whatever they could. And, you know, donating $50,000, I mean, everybody knows about the V Foundation. I don't know what a great guy he was and the energy he brought to sports. And, you know, I was really excited when they told me that they were going to go and make the contribution to that foundation.
Now, what about your career going forward? You're obviously doing NFL games, and you've got your show where you're renovating the man caves.
Yep.
Coaching, do you ever want to get back into football on that level, or are you pretty happy doing what you're doing?
You know what, man? Coaches really don't have much of a life, Rich. You know, they're, you know, go 3 years, get fired, go to another city. I couldn't do that to my family. And I'm pretty happy with what I'm doing right now. You know, Fox, you know, has really given me an opportunity to go and get out there and talk about the game and stay involved and do something different that nobody else is doing on the sideline. And man caves, I mean, I never imagined, you know, we'd be doing going on our 165th man cave with going and giving guys a space in their house to go and relax and watch the game, get out of their wife's hair a little bit. So it's, you know, the transition from playing to now has really been, you know, I've really been happy with how it's going and being able to spend more time with my family and my kids as they grow up. And, you know, we talk about coaching football. I think the toughest thing I've ever done, my daughters both play soccer, and I coach my youngest one, and, you know, since she's been about 7 years old. And that's probably the toughest job I've ever had, you know, having, you know, little girls coming up to me and saying, you know, Marissa called me a dum-dum, and having to deal with that kind of stuff. I mean, I never knew how tough it was actually to be a coach in a sport. But, you know, NFL coaching is, you know, maybe one day down the road, but right now it just doesn't fit in my plan.
Yeah, and I know they tease you about it a lot, but are you getting a little bit more hands-on when it comes to the man caves and doing some things?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I did one last week, and, you know, we've been really busy with a lot of celebrity man caves, and, you know, that's been a great show, and I can't believe it's been on the run that it has.
Tony the Goose Siragusa in conversation with Richard Neer. And if you want more information, go to guardyourmanhood.com. That's guardyourmanhood.com. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. Richard Neer returns with more interesting conversation right here when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues on this great radio station in just a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security websites. Pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
This is a Driving Today Minute. Even though high gasoline prices have moderated somewhat, they're still quite high. It just makes good sense to do what you can do to reduce your fuel costs. The Alliance to Save Energy suggests a few easy things you can do.
Keep your car properly tuned up and change the air filter regularly, both to save gas and protect your engine. Curtail aggressive driving. According to the U.S. Department of Energy, speeding, rapid acceleration, and hard braking waste gas and curb mileage by as much as 33% at highway speeds.
So nix the jackrabbit starts and opt instead for slow acceleration from a dead stop. Slow down. The DOE says each mile per hour you drive over 60 is like paying an extra 10 cents per gallon. Inflate tires to the proper pressure. This will increase fuel economy and make tires safer and extend their life.
This Driving Today Minute is brought to you by Bridgestone Firestone Tires. You can get more information like this at drivingtoday.com or by visiting our partners such as autobytel.com, motorsportsforum.com, and more.
You're listening to A Touch of Gray. Check out our website at atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. That's atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we are joined again by our senior correspondent, Richard Neer, who just moments from now will be speaking with Dr. James Rafel, a professor of clinical medicine, College of Physicians and Surgeons at Columbia University. He's going to talk about atrial fibrillation, otherwise known as AFib, and strokes. That's coming up next. Interesting and important information. Richard, from the world of popular culture, this past week, those of us who follow rock music, album rock music, the music of the 60s and 70s, mourn the passing of keyboard legend Ray Manzarek. And I would imagine many of the people listening to this broadcast are familiar with him as the keyboard player for the Doors. Some may not know him, of course. He never achieved, you know, individual pop star status as a household name, but I'd say Ray Manzarek was a pretty, pretty awesome figure in terms of those who follow, you know, music on the level that album rockers do.
Well, I think the signature thing, you know, sometimes you do one song and there's a signature riff or a little piece in that that will define your career. And to me, Ray Manzarek, you know, the organ piece in Light My Fire, which is so distinctive. And that song was, you know, for top 40 radio at the time, so long. And there were so many different versions where they chopped it down and cut out the solo sections to make it, you know, more palatable for, to make it into a 3-minute record instead of the plus 6 minutes that it was. But that organ solo was so definitive and so cool. And it kind of came, I think, Michael, to define what FM radio was about. You could hear the whole version of Light My Fire, and you could hear all the solo work that Manzarek and Robbie Krieger did.
Yeah, what they did in the old days back in the 60s when progressive rock started to emerge from top 40 rock is that they cut out, for the sake of fitting the top 40 formats, from the album rock tracks, which was where the hip, you know, all the hip kids were listening, the college students, the hippies, the people that kind of fueled that whole musical explosion that came to fruition in the 70s, is they cut out the best parts of the song for the sake of making it, you know, as you called it, palatable, make it fit the playlists on top 40 radio for the 45 RPM singles, which were the main unit of measurement for selling records. At that point in history, it was going through a transition to albums, of course. So, you know, the hip kids would hear Light My Fire on the top 40 station on AM radio, and the best part of it was gone. And there were other tunes like that as well.
And the breakthrough songs. I mean, Light My Fire was one. Remember the other one, MacArthur Park, Richard Harris? That was very long, and they cut that down, too.
I'm not sure how much they cut out of that one, but I know that there were a number of songs. But Light My Fire is the absolute definitive one of that. And ironically, the part that they cut out with the, you know, I can't even do it, but it was so abstract. And in its day, it was so exotic. It was such an exotic-sounding piece of rock music, the couple of minutes of that long organ and or keyboard and guitar break, that it sounded like it was otherworldly. I mean, you could just sense that this was something from, you know, the new era that was beginning. We called it psychedelic. Some called it acid rock. Some people thought it had references to drugs. But it was just kind of musically more sophisticated. I can't think of any other way to say it.
It was also very sexy. You know, the whole Jim Morrison persona. I mean, here was this guy, this strapping, good-looking guy in tight leather pants. And everybody remembers who goes back that far about Miami and what supposedly happened there on stage. There was this whole sexual thing to the Doors, especially in some of their longer pieces, that really kind of shocked people on AM radio and made them an FM group. However, they had People Are Strange, Love Me Too. They had a lot of little quick songs that were hit singles as well.
Yeah. But that Light My Fire piece definitely had an orgasmic quality to it. It had a definite sexual orgasmic quality to it that could not be denied, although in those days sometimes there was denial about things like that because we were so unused to anything blatantly sexual being in the mass media that we figured maybe we're not understanding it, or is it really about, you know, was Lola really about a man dressed as a woman, you know, even though it said it, it was still, you know, you couldn't just necessarily buy it. Let's continue this conversation on the other side of your conversation coming up with Dr. James Rafel, which is next. Richard Neer, our senior correspondent, talking a little bit about pop culture and then some. I'm Michael Harrison, and Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups, continues right here in just a moment.
You're age 65, and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marx offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marx is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
She's conquered some of the most challenging ski courses anywhere, but with only one leg, the odds were against her even walking.
The growth was stunted in my right leg when I was born, and the doctors told my mother we needed to amputate when I was 5 years old.
Bonnie was helped at a Shriners Hospital, one of a network of 22 hospitals helping kids throughout North America. Shriners Hospitals provide world-class orthopedic and burn medical care, and they offer that care totally free of charge.
The care and treatment the Shriners gave me was a gift. It wasn't just about learning to walk. They helped me to believe in myself.
There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area realize their dreams.
If I went back to the Shriners Hospital and talked to the nurses and doctors, I would say thank you. Thank you for making my dreams come true.
If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to GoDirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, and Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and here as promised is our senior correspondent Richard Neer in conversation with Dr. James Rafel. He's a professor of clinical medicine at the College of Physicians and Surgeons at Columbia University, and he's going to talk to Richard about atrial fibrillation and strokes.
Now, you're here to talk about atrial fibrillation. You're giving me all kinds of things to pronounce here today, but it is connected to strokes, and of course we're all very aware of strokes, but tell us what this fibrillation is all about.
Sure. Well, as you said, it's connected to strokes, and this is National Stroke Awareness Month, so I want to make sure your listeners are aware of atrial fibrillation, and if they have it, that they know that this common heart condition can increase the risk of stroke by fivefold. AFib is an irregular heartbeat. It's caused when the upper chambers of the heart, called the atria, beat chaotically. And in many patients with AFib, there's a tendency for blood to pool in the atria, leading to the formation of clots, and those clots can break apart and travel to the brain or other areas of the body, blocking the blood supply. And if it's to the brain, it causes a stroke. And it's not rare. We have about 6 million Americans who have AFib now. It goes up as we age, and our population's aging, and it's projected by 2050 we'll have between 12 and 15 million Americans with AFib. AFib increases the risk of stroke by fivefold, and the key is that 9 out of 10 strokes with AFib are from clots blocking arteries to the brain. They're called ischemic strokes. Strokes can also occur from bleeding into the brain, called hemorrhagic, but with AFib, it's mostly ischemic, and the important message here is that by preventing clot formation in patients with fib, we can prevent those strokes. And that's a big deal.
Now, doctor, with AFib, is that something that can be detected with a normal physical examination that we have on a regular basis, hopefully, or is that something that you have to diagnose separately?
The answer to that is yes, and I'll be more specifically. If fibrillation can occur intermittently, can start and stop, or it can be persistent or permanent, if you're in fibrillation, when you see your physician, the pulse will be irregular, and it can be detected on the physical exam and certainly confirmed by the electrocardiogram. If it's intermittent and you don't happen to have it when you're with the physician, The only way to pick it up is with more prolonged electrocardiogram-type monitoring. And there are devices we can give the patients to apply to their skin when they're having symptoms or to wear continuously, because not all AFib patients have symptoms. And they can be worn for weeks or months, and sometimes we implant them and they're used for years. The key, though, is to detect AFib because your symptoms suggest you're having it or because you have a cardiac condition or a lung condition that promotes its risk. And if you identify the fib, you can then determine whether the patient should be treated with an anticoagulant.
Now, is this something that can be preventable in terms of lifestyle, diet, and exercise, or is this just something that's genetic? I mean, how does one, how does AFib happen in the human body?
Well, it occurs as we get older. There are changes in the body. The skin wrinkles in some people. We get gray in some people. We get constipated in some people, and some get AFib. It's genetic in some patients.
So it's
related in most people to the development of underlying heart disease of some sort. So the dietary issues, cholesterol, salt, all can contribute to underlying conditions that may promote AFib. The importance, though, again, is if you have AFib, you're likely, more likely than not, to have one or more risk marker that favors the development of clot. And that's older age, once you hit your mid-60s and above. Female gender, half of us have it. High blood pressure, diabetes, heart failure, vascular disease of any sort, prior clots, all put you at risk of having a clot with AFib, and that puts you at risk of a stroke. And the reason that's important is we can prevent those clots by the use of anticoagulants, commonly termed blood thinners. We've had them for years. We've had warfarin, also known as Coumadin, for over half a century. And although it's effective, it's not used well. Half the patients who should get it don't, because patients don't like it. They've heard about it. Physicians don't like it. It's difficult to use. You have to modify your diet. It interacts with an innumerable list of drugs. It has to have regular blood tests because the dose changes depending upon a number of circumstances. The good news is in the last 2 years, we've had three new agents introduced into the U.S. market. The first of those was dabigatran, called Pradaxa, which when studied head-to-head against warfarin in a trial of 18,000-plus patients, not a small trial, demonstrated superior reduction in preventing both ischemic stroke, that's the clot kind, as well as bleeds into the head. And so that we've got agents now that are effective, much easier to use. Patients need to know about them. And if they have AFib or risk markers for fib, fib should be looked at. And if they've got risk markers for stroke, the blood thinner should be used prophylactically before we have that stroke. And the strokes with AFib are more likely to be fatal or debilitating than any other kind. So this is a big deal not to be overlooked.
Now, if you're not at that point yet, though, the baby aspirin regimen, the aspirin, is that somewhat effective at warding this off, or is that just not really enough to make any difference?
Aspirin is effective in reducing clots that develop in diseased arteries, like the coronary arteries, and reducing the risk of heart attack. In diseased arteries in the brain, and some strokes come from arterial disease in the carotid arteries in the neck or the vessels of the brain. But for clots that form in the atria during fibrillation, the aspirin really has no role. It's just not effective enough, and we need to use the more potent blood thinners. And fortunately, we now have some new ones, as I said, that are much easier to use and at least as effective as warfarin, and in the case of dabigatran, superior to warfarin.
Is there an age where you start to see this commonly develop? Is there a marker age where you really need to get concerned about this, or can it happen at any age?
Well, it can happen at any age, but about two-thirds of AFib to three-quarters of AFib occurs in patients who are 60 and above. So the older we get, the greater the risk of AFib as well as stroke from AFib.
And
so
how
when
often
we get into our
one...
60s and 70s, by all means, we got to be thinking about it.
And how often should we test?
Well, you go to your physician depending on the frequency depends upon your underlying condition. If you've got diabetes or high blood pressure, you're going to go more often than if it's a once-a-year healthy check. But each time you go, your physician should be asking, do you have any of the following symptoms, things that may indicate atrial fibrillation? when did we do your electrocardiogram last? You know, let's make sure we're looking at it in the older patient a couple of times a year. It would be different in a 30-year-old than it would be in an 80-year-old.
James Rafel, in conversation with Richard Neer, May is National Stroke Awareness Month. Richard Neer will be returning in just a moment to talk a bit about the passing of rock and roll legendary keyboardist, member of the Doors, and basically a rock scholar as well, Ray Manzarek. That's next. When A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues right here in just a moment.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said, you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
For almost every American worker, Social Security is part of the plan for a secure retirement. It's important to know how the program works. If you have questions, the answers are easy to find when you visit www.socialsecurity.gov. Use the retirement estimator to get a benefit estimate. Browse our frequently asked questions. You can even apply for benefits online. Visit www.socialsecurity.gov to figure out your retirement plan. That's www.socialsecurity.gov.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we come to the final segment of this hour of our broadcast, and we continue our conversation with our senior correspondent, Richard Neer. Richard, we were talking earlier about the passing of rock and roll legend, keyboard legend, Ray Manzarek of the Doors. And I had the pleasure of knowing him and finding him to be an incredibly intelligent, articulate, and nice man. He was a friend of so many radio DJs in those days. Did you have the pleasure of ever meeting him?
Indeed. And we got, back in the day, we used to get IDs. This is Ray Manzarek of the Doors, and he had this great deep voice. You would even think that he could be a singer at some point. But no, he was a rock and roll scholar. in that, very much like Max Weinberg of the E Street Band.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of music that he liked. He was into jazz, and he had a wide breadth of knowledge. He was a student of the art, and not just a pop star who just, you know, was in it for the money and the girls and all of that.
Yeah. Well, his playing of the keyboard was almost like a lead guitar. As a matter of fact, I think the keyboard nature of the Doors sound lent to the Jim Morrison myth. It made Morrison sound otherworldly, having that, you know, that organ music behind him, as opposed to it all being guitar, although they had good guitar player, too, in Robbie Krieger. And John Densmore was the drummer.
Was the drummer, right.
What a great band they were. I mean, you know, it's funny. Morrison dominated that band, and of course, when he died, these three fellows found themselves without a voice. But they were as much a part of the Doors experience as Jim Morrison. I don't think Jim Morrison would have been half as big a figure if it weren't for those three musicians playing with him.
Oh, I tend to agree with you. And I think that the problem was when they tried to go on as a trio without Morrison, they kind of went into jazzy stuff, and people expected the Doors. And it's weird. You know, remember when Sammy Hagar was Van Halen, and I don't know, maybe he's back again, and David Lee Roth and all of that. When you try to replace a lead singer, if it's just a voice, you know, if it's just somebody that you know, just sings, it's okay. But if it's a strong personality, like the Stones without Mick Jagger, where would they be, even though they're good musicians?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Doors without Morrison. There are some guys that are just not replaceable. And other guys, like I saw Journey recently with whoever they've got singing for Steve Perry, and he sounds just like Steve Perry.
Well, in that case, he approximates the sound. Another band that has gone on for years without their main lead voices, or at least most of them, is the miracle known as Chicago. You know, Chicago is a current, up-to-date touring band that sounds great. And in some cases, they sound better. They may have better musicians now than they did then, because these kids have grown up listening to this. I know Robert Lamb still sings Saturday in the Park, but those great voices.
Peter Cetera, no more.
Yeah, and wasn't there? There was Terry.
Terry Kath, who shot himself.
Yeah. Right. Wasn't he the one who did Make Me Smile?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Terry Kath was the guitarist and a lead vocalist in a lot of ways. I mean, Cetera, I guess most of the hits were his. Mm. And there's a commercial out now today, Chicks Dig Cetera. Because his stuff is kind of syrupy sweet now, and most guys don't like it. But when he was with Chicago, I think they did.
Yeah, well, Chicago really became greater than the sum of its parts. Fabulous band. But this is interesting stuff, and certainly there are many cases where a band could go on with a different singer. You know, Blood, Sweat, and Tears had David Clayton Thomas, but before that they had Al Kooper. They weren't as big, but they did. And, you know, Grace Slick was the lead singer of a band called The Great Society before she was the lead singer of the Airplane. Time's running out. Let's talk more about this kind of stuff in the future. It's fascinating. I love tapping into your rock and roll roots, and brings out some of my own memories. Richard Neer, thank you so much for joining us. Richard Neer, our senior correspondent, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you to Beverly Santinello on the front line, our producer, the host and founder of the program, it's star Carol Marks, Steve Wiseman, Kevin Casey, the entire Touch of Grey broadcast team. I'm Michael Harrison, inviting you to join us next weekend right here for another 2-hour installment of A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups.